Daniel was in his house doing whatever Daniel does in his house. The guy comes to the door. He said, "What's so urgent? Why is everybody calm down?" And so Arioch had to tell him what was going on. So what's shocking to me and how I look at it in my life is that Daniel didn't respond with prudence and discretion after he heard what was going on. So it wasn't like Daniel was sitting there, "What's going on? Okay, now I know, now I got the scenario, now I'm going to respond with prudence and tact." The scripture says that before he even knew what happened. So what that tells me is that Daniel had already placed himself in a position so that no matter what circumstances, what issues, whatever came through that door in his life, he was already prepared for his response.
Welcome to the Followers of the Way podcast for January 14th, 2018. Today, Pastor Olu brings us part two of his message called World Engines, Daniel, Biblical Response to Crisis.
Pops called me in the morning when my cousin died on the way home to his sister's birthday party. We were all going over there. Just things just hit you. I wasn't prepared for that. I had just talked to him a couple hours ago. So, I'm leaving work at 2 a.m. I'll be there. I'm like, "Phil, why are you leaving at 2 in the morning, man? That don't make no sense. Go to bed. You can be asleep while you're tired while you're driving. Just go to bed. See you and come in the morning." Nah, I'll be good. And about 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning, my phone rang and I knew exactly what it was. I didn't know how to pick it up. I knew exactly what it was. I wasn't prepared for that. It wasn't. When disaster, when those things come in your life, then is not the time to try to prepare yourself. Now is the time.
Pastor Olu tells us more about Daniel and how he's prepared for his response to the situation he was facing. Pastor Olu brings to light how that being prepared ahead of time is the only way that we can respond with prudence and discretion to crisis situations. He says that being prepared starts with us acknowledging who God is and that He is sovereign, all-knowing, all-powerful, and absolutely free to do what He wants. And because of this, there's no need to panic in crisis situations, but to simply trust in who God is. Now he'll be reading from the book of Daniel, so grab your Bible and follow along with us as we explore God's Word here on Followers of the Way.
What we were looking at in Daniel chapter 2, we were looking at from last week, how that Daniel had a conundrum. He had a situation that happened. The problem was the king had this dream. You remember, the king had this dream. The king didn't understand the dream, it was confusing to him. And so he called his dream interpreters to come. They had no clue what it was. As a matter of fact, Nebuchadnezzar, who was king, said that not only do I want you to interpret, which means to tell me what the dream means, I also want you to tell me what my dream was, because he was skeptical, I'm assuming, about some of the different interpretations that he gotten before. And this dream was so important, it shook him so much. The Bible says, if you look at chapter 2, verse 1, in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His spirit was troubled and his sleep left him. So he was shooken up about this. And so because of that, he called for his scientists and his enchanters and sorcerers and magicians, and they could not tell him what the dream was. So much to the effect that he said, "Okay, y'all can't tell me what it is. Everybody dies." And so that really shook up the kingdom. We looked at last week, one of the things we pointed out that was the fact that how that Satan's level of knowledge, and then extended to that secular wisdom. The secular wisdom of this world, quote unquote wisdom, is not enough. There's always shortcomings to that. There's always limitations to that. And so we find our wisdom, we find the complete version of wisdom in the Word of God. And so Daniel showed us that, a good example of that. Look with me in verse 11, quick recap from last week. The thing that the king asked is difficult. So he went, he asked his enchanters, his magicians, and they responded with this. "The thing that the king asks is difficult, and no one can show it to the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh." And for me, when I read that, that was such a profound statement that they didn't even know they were saying, that the gods are the only ones who can answer this, and the gods' dwelling is not with flesh. And so we spent a considerable amount of time last week looking at the different verses that showed how that God himself came in the form of Jesus Christ here on earth, and that he is the God-man Savior of the world. Turn with me quick. Let's look at that real quick. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2 again. I didn't touch on this a lot last week, but I wanted to stress this a little bit more this week. In Philippians chapter 2, which is, again, a great chapter, not because it was written by Paul, because all these chapters are great. But I like how it starts off talking about the humility of Christ. But then it goes on and he talks about, in that context of humility, how that Christ, in verse 6, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, being born of the likeness of men. And so what happened there is God, as Padilla was talking about in his message about who God is, God is one, as he talked about. God exists in three persons, the three persons of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They are all equal in nature. That's the thing about the Trinity. They are equal in nature. They all have the same nature. But they are subservient, and by subservient we mean there is a order, there is a hierarchy, only in their duties and responsibilities. Okay, so we have to understand that when we talk about God, God is one, three persons that are equal in nature. God the Father is 100% God. Can be no more God than he is. God the Son is 100% God. No more God than he can. He got like 90% God. He's 100% God. And God the Holy Spirit. Okay? And so to understand that, three in one, they are equal in nature, but subservient only in duties and responsibility. We talk about nature. Nature has to do with, I don't want to use the term what you're made of, because God was not made. But nature has to do with your sustenance. For instance, Jaden and I are of the same nature. I am a human male. He is a human male. Okay? That's our nature. So we are of the same nature. So nature-wise, Jaden and I are equal. I am not a higher link of the food chain human than he is. He's just as human and just as male as I am human and I am male. But he is subservient, means sub, below, serve, has to obey me because I am his father and he is my son. That doesn't make him any less of a human male than I am. He's still just 100% human male, but he's just subservient in duties and responsibility because I am his father. So that, and I really, really hate when people try to explain the Trinity by using simple examples, because the Trinity and who God is so massive and so crazy that we won't be able to understand it. Somebody tried to say, well, it's like a pretzel. A pretzel is a long piece of dough, so it's one piece of dough. But when you make the pretzel, you have three holes. And so it's three in one. Well, that's cute. The only problem is you can unravel the pretzel. And then what happens to the three? Because God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is God at all times and at the same time. You see what I'm saying? Some people like to use the example, and I hope I'm not getting into Padilla's messages. He's at home. Nope. I can't say that now. Another one to try to use is the egg. I say the egg has a shell, it has a yolk, and it has a white. Thank you. I was going to say the one you beat to make meringue. That's going way far to get to. Yeah. So it's a white. And so they say, well, so that's just like an egg has three parts that makes up one egg. Well, that's cute. But the problem is, again, the shell is, you can take the shell and put it here, and you can take the white and put it here, and you can take the yellow and put it there, and it's separate. It's separated. But God, you can't do that. Other examples was, well, God, in the Old Testament, it was God the Father. In the New Testament, it's Jesus, God the Son. And then now, it's God the Holy Spirit. That's cute. But the problem with that is it shows that there are, God has phases, that God the Father is now quiet, and God the Son is quiet, and that's God the Holy Spirit. So it's a lot of, you know, there are many ways that people try to explain it. I've heard some good ones, I heard some not so good ones. But the concept, and all we can go by is what the Scripture says, is that God is 100% God, Jesus Christ is 100% God, and 100% man. And when we look at this, what I like about this portion of Scripture is that the Bible says God thought it not robbery. That's the old King James talk. What basically it was saying was he had no issue with it. He knew that he could do this. And so the Bible says he took off his glory robe. So the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, took off his glory robe and he left it in heaven and he put on this dirty, filthy, stinking flesh. And he zipped it up. And he came down and he was born of a woman. And he left his glory at home. in heaven. So what does that mean? Well, that means that, you know, at times, you know, if he wanted to do different things, for instance, he hungered. Remember the Bible says Jesus was hungry and he was thirsty? That's because he left his glory in heaven. So he was 100% man. At the same time, though his glory robe was in heaven, he was still 100% God at the same time. And if you look through the scriptures, you see that all the time. The disciples called him Lord. They bow down for him. And the part of the scripture when Jesus healed the man, the Pharisees got mad. When he healed the guy, when they let him through on the thing, Pharisees got mad. Like, you know, how are you going to forgive sins? No one can forgive sins but God. Jesus said, oh, is that right? But what's better? Should I forgive his sin or I tell him to get up and walk? But so that you will know that I have the power to forgive sins, which means that I am God. Because you said it. Only God can forgive sins. So Jesus says, so that you will know that I have the power to forgive sins because I am God. Check this out. Get up and walk. And the guy jumped up and walked out. So it's no question in scripture that Jesus claimed, not only claimed to be God, 100% God, but he was God. And so we call that the God-man Savior, 100% God, at the same time, 100% man. And so back in Daniel chapter 2, when they said that only person that could do these are the gods and their dwelling is not with flesh, I believe that that was the introduction or the type where the heathen folk or the Babylonians, that concept, Jesus said, you know what? Yes, he can. And Christ came. And his dwelling was with flesh. And we looked at John chapter 1, 14. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. So back to Daniel. I really like that portion of scripture there. Back to Daniel, you come back to, and he talks about, and where we ended last week was Daniel was in his room chilling, and the guy came banging on his door. He had his sword or his hatchet or his knife. I don't know what he had to kill him, but he had it. They were coming to kill him. Him, Mishael, Azariah, and Hananiah, better known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, came to kill all of them. Look at verse 14 with me. Then Daniel replied with prudence and discretion. We talked about that, what prudence mean and discretion mean. We looked at the word prudence, and we saw that had to do with to be critical and cautious as you judge something. To be critical and cautious. Keen and foresighted penetration. So we use the example of X-ray vision. As all this was going on around him, he was sitting there minding his own business. The guy came, I'm about to kill you. He responded with X-ray vision. He was calm and he was cautious with his words. And the other word is discretion. And we use the word there to represent tact. That means after inner deliberation, resolve to do something. So he didn't jump the gun. He was calm. He was cool. He was collected. He thought about it. And I like the response that he said. Verse 14, then Daniel replied with prudence and discretion to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. This is what he said, verse 15. He declared to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree of the king so urgent? So basically, in the Olu version, he was like, yo, chill. Calm down, man. What, everybody chill for a second. You run around about to kill everybody. What's going on? Why is the king's decree so urgent? Then Arioch made the matter known to Daniel. And Daniel went in and requested the king to appoint him a time that he might show the interpretation of the king. I like that. And Arioch made the matter known, verse 15, to Daniel. And once Daniel heard what was going on, Daniel went in and requested the king to appoint him a time that he might show the interpretation to the king. Two things I get from that portion of scripture. One, Daniel did not know what was happening. It wasn't like the decree went out before, kill everybody. He got an email or IM or a snappy chappy and it was like, yeah, we're about to kill everybody. Snappy chappy, I don't know. He didn't get one of those. Whatever it was, he didn't get it, all right? And so Daniel was in his house doing whatever Daniel does in his house. The guy comes to the door. He said, what's so urgent? Why is everybody calm down? And so Arioch had to tell him what was going on. So what's shocking to me and how I look at it in my life is that Daniel didn't respond with prudence and discretion after he heard what was going on. So it wasn't like Daniel was sitting there, what's going on? Okay, now I got the scenario. Now I'm going to respond with prudence and tact. The scripture says that before he even knew what happened. So what that tells me is that Daniel had already placed himself in a position so that no matter what circumstances, what issues, whatever came through that door in his life, he he was already prepared for his response, no matter what it was. And the response that he was going to have, no matter what came through that door, no matter what happened in his life, his response was going to be with prudence, means counsel, means he was going to calmly and cautiously look through, kind of look behind the situation and see what was going on. And then with tact, to be able to have that inner deliberation.
What do I need to do here?
Before he makes a decision. That takes practice. That takes practice, and it takes putting yourself in a position where you can do that. And when we look back at Daniel, we don't have a lot about him, but we look back in Daniel chapter 1, we see a little glimpse into how he was able to do that. We see that when they came to him with eating of the king's food and drinking of the king's wine, the Bible says that he resolved. He had made a decision that I'm not going to do that. And that resolved decision we looked at led to God then blessing him. And then God's blessing him led to God giving him that wisdom to interpret dreams and to wisdom to understand all those things that was going on, which led to putting him in a position above everybody else. And so when you look at that, when hard times hit us, very rarely they hit us with a warning. Very rarely do we get a text. Your family member is going to die in about 3 weeks, so get yourself ready for it. Yeah, this bill is going to come that you didn't even know about, and you're going to need to pay this by such and such and such a date. Your child is going to wake up one morning and tell you this, or act like this, or do this, or say this out their mouth. So be ready. Very rarely do those things happen, especially in life. Been a lot of situations in my life where things have happened, just hit me like, bam, like I did not see that coming. And so the question is, in those times, if Daniel had waited till he heard that knock on the door, and the door opened and the guy came through with his sword and his shield and his knife or whatever weapon they had to be like, hold up, I need to prepare myself for what's going on right now. So if you could just chill for a second. Let me prepare. Father God, I'm going to need your strength right now. Let me find some scriptures. Let me see. What's a good verse for this? Guy comes to your door with a sword. Give me a good verse for this one. All right, let me call my friends, get them ready. I just need y'all to pray for me. You know what? I should have went to church Sunday. So if you could just wait till next Sunday, I'm going to go to church this Sunday. And then it's not time for that. We have to be prepared. We are in Babylon. And this, again, is an example for Daniel's example for us. We are in Babylon. And why are we, the body of Christ, are in Babylon? This world is not our own. Things are going to happen. I look at the young people. Y'all ain't even lived a quarter of your life yet. Definitely not a quarter of your life yet. And you think of all, I think of all the things. I've turned 44 tomorrow. All right? And I think of all the stuff. And that's not even... You know, my pops is what?
How old? Daddy, 76?
Yeah, dad's 76. So he got me by 32 years. Yeah, he was 32, I was born. But I was thinking, in my 44 years, all the situations has happened to me. You know, I remember when my pops called me in the morning when my cousin died on the way home to his sister's birthday party. We were all going over there. Just things just hit you. I wasn't prepared for that. I had just talked to him a couple hours ago. I'm leaving work at 2 a.m. I'll be there. I'm like, Phil, why are you leaving at 2 in the morning, man? I said, don't make no sense. Go to bed. You're going to be asleep while you're tired while you're driving. Just go to bed and see and come in the morning. Nah, I'll be good. And about 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning, my phone rang. And I knew exactly what it was. I didn't know how to pick it up. I knew exactly what it was. But I wasn't prepared for that. That situation hit. You know, my job situation. When I lost my job, it wasn't like, hey, Olu, just want to let you know. About 6 months, we're going to have to let you go. So you're going to have to get another job. So go ahead on and start saving some money. Stop getting your resume out there. Get that rhythm going. You know what I'm saying? Get the idea so then you can write. Nah, it was a situation where I had to call my wife. I'm coming home early today. I should probably tell you now before I get there. Here's the deal. I wasn't prepared for that. It wasn't. When those things come in your life, then is not the time to try to prepare yourself. Now is the time. And so Daniel, as you look at the scriptures, even from that time, he resolved. And how old was it? 13, 14 years old. He resolved that he would not. He made a decision that he was going to stand with God no matter what at that young age. And that decision helped him as he built, and God gave him strength, and he built when nothing, when everything was cool, when things were going all right. Remember, he had already become high in the king's court. Verse 20, and in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king inquired of him, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters that were in his kingdom. And Daniel was there until the first year of Cyrus. And so he had already been blessed. And so things were going pretty good for him now. I mean, considering how terrible his life was before that. Things were going pretty good for him now. But he had put himself in such a position so that when disaster came, he was able to respond with prudence and discretion. How do we do that? There's several ways to do that, but it always starts with the word of God. Putting God first. Making those decisions like Daniel did. That, you know what? I'm going to resolve that no matter what happens, I'm going to stay with God. I'm going to stay with the word says. And by doing that, God will prepare us for that so that when disaster, when catastrophe, when hard times come, when that pain, when that stress, when that agony comes, when catastrophe and crisis arise, we can be ready to reply with prudence and discretion. We talked a little bit about that word discretion. It had to do with that taste testing. And it has the idea of selecting something for a specific occasion. A derivative of that same word, David used it in Psalms chapter 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Remember that the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. And around the New Testament time, a little before New Testament time, people wanted to be able to understand and read the scriptures. And so they didn't read Hebrew at the time. And so they took the Hebrew and translated it into Greek. It's called the Septuagint. So if you see a LXX in your Bible, like a capital L, capital X, it's talking about the Septuagint. That is, they took the original Hebrew and translated it into Greek. The word that they use is the exact same word that Daniel used in Daniel chapter 2 when it says that he responded with discretion, with team. That same word is, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And so when you think about that in a context, that word taste there has to do with an idea of using the faculty of your body, which discriminates and selects what's suitable for a given scenario or given occasion. And so what David is saying there is that the Lord is suitable for every occasion that you're about to come through. So taste and see. Taste. Take time and see. Matter of fact, it's like a test. Try something else. Try something else for your occasion, for a situation. When crisis comes through, what's the best way to go? What's the best route to go? Taste to see that the Lord is good. And so that same word is used there that Daniel used as far as his response. And so from that, I want to admonish us, before disaster comes, before crisis comes, before catastrophe comes, prepare yourselves. Prepare yourselves so that we can respond as Daniel did, the 17, 18-year-old boy, with prudence and tact in doing that. Verse 18, chapter 2. And Daniel went in and requested the king to appoint him a time that he might show the interpretation to the king. So his prudence and his tact led him to say, okay, Arioch, calm down. Don't kill anybody else yet. I'm going to go see the king. He went up and he saw Nebuchadnezzar and said, Nebuchadnezzar, listen, I got you. Give me an appointed time and I will let you know what the dream meant. And that pleased Nebuchadnezzar such that he did that. What I like about that portion is that Daniel was not afraid to confront the disaster. Sometimes when disaster comes, we cower back, we retreat, we revert back to our old selves, we revert back to doing other things different ways. Daniel did not shy away from that. They were at his door with knives and swords and whatever ready to kill him. He said, hold on a minute. And he went past them and he went to the king, the guy who actually gave the decree. And he asked him, said, look, let me know what time to come back. When I come back, I'll have the interpretation of the dream. To me, that's crazy. I don't know if I pray that I do and I continue to pursue it. But that's the faith that you have when you know who you serve. That's the faith that you have when you know that you serve a God who is sovereign. When we talk about Daniel, that God is sovereign. He's all powerful and all knowing. And absolutely free to do what he wants to. Such that that 17-year-old boy could go to the face of the catastrophe, to the face of this crisis, and say, hold on for 1 second. You tell me what time you want me to come back. Tuesday at 3 o'clock? Okay. And when I come back Tuesday at 3 o'clock, I will have the interpretation to your dream. and the dream that you said, because I serve a sovereign God who is all powerful and all knowing and absolutely free to do what he wants to do. So I will be back with that. That's a level of faith that we all should strive to be, where we know that we trust God such that we can look in the face of catastrophe, we can look in the face of disaster, we can look in the face of crisis and say, oh, I'm going to be all right, because God, the God I serve, is going to get me through this. So I'm going to be all right. And he walked back, home, went to see his boys. That's a crazy faith right there. But again, if you think about it, it's not so crazy when you think about who Daniel served. He served a sovereign God. And if the Bible is true, what it says, that God is all powerful, that means he has the pinnacle of power. He's all knowing, the pinnacle of knowledge. And he's absolutely free to do whatever he wants to do, down to the very detail of everything that his, whatever his will is, will come to pass. When we fully understand that, then we can say like Daniel, oh, it doesn't matter. What's about to happen? Oh, no, I'm good. Because I know that God is going to bring me through this. That started when he was a little boy, I'm assuming, with names like Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. All their names had God in it, God this, God that. The fact that at such a young age, 13, 14 years old, he could say, you know what, I'm going to resolve to do what the scripture tells me to do, regardless of what could happen to me. That tells me that started at young. So young people, make sure at this time in your life that you have that resolve of Daniel and that you understand who God is, so that when situations come, because they're going to come, I promise you they're going to come. When they come, you're not saying, oh, no, panic, what do I do now? No. I remember when I was little, I remember when I read the scriptures, and I remember that we learned that God was sovereign and that God is in charge of everything. And whatever God's will is, whatever his plan is, it will work out down to the very detail, because he is all powerful and all knowing, and because he's absolutely free to do whatever he wants to do. And so by understanding that right now, when those situations come, when that disaster comes, when those hard times come, when those confusing times come, when you don't know what choice to make, remember who God is. Because he's going to be the one. So you can be like Daniel. Oh, no, I'm not going to do that. Oh, what's happening? Oh, I'm going to be all right. Because I know the God I serve. The Bible says in verse 17, after Daniel left Nebuchadnezzar, this is a cool part. Then Daniel went to his house and made the matter known to Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, his companions, and told them, watch this, to seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. And Daniel went to his house and made the matter known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, and told them to seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery. And look at the pattern of how Daniel handled disaster. Look at the pattern how Daniel handled stress. Look at the pattern, and stress and disaster seems too small of a word. I can't think of anything bigger than crisis and catastrophe. If you can think of a bigger word, let me know. But think how Daniel handled this catastrophe in his life. Catastrophe opened the door, stepped in. He responded with prudence and tact, discretion. He then went to the source of the disaster and said, I have a God who's going to take care of this whole thing. Two. Three, he went back to his friends. And he said, hey, guys, I need y'all to pray for us. Not one of those steps was panic. Not one of those steps was, and Daniel fell onto his face and ripped his clothes in sackcloth and ashes and began to cry with a loud voice, oh, God, oh, God, what is happening now? Not one of those things that Daniel said, you know what? That's about it. They snatched me away from my mama and daddy. They brought me here. They took away my manhood. They made me eat this crappy food. All this stuff is going on. I'm done. And I'm out. Where's the next? Give me another God. Baal? Who do we serve? What's my name? Belteshazzar? Let's ride with that dude. Not once do you see, and Daniel went into a sunken place of depression. And from then on, He hid his face from his people and he cried. No. The pattern he went from, prudence responding, went to the disaster, knowing that who the God was he served, and then he said, hey guys, his companions, his friends, he went to them with the disaster, with the concern, with the crisis, and said, hey, we have got to hit our knees. We have got to pray. We have got to pray. I think about times, and I'm not a prideful person. Let me just get that out first off, okay? Not a prideful person. I just like to keep my business to myself. You see what I'm saying? You see? No, that's pride, okay. Listen, the point is, a lot of time when disasters come, when hard times come, our first response is, how do I get out of this? Okay, all right, listen. Okay, this just happened. What do I need to do? I got to do something. What do I need to do? What's my next step? What's my plan? This is Olu. This is how I think. What's my plan? Okay, it's got to be a way to get out of this. Got to be a way to fix this scenario. What do I need to do? What is the situation? What is the situation? And sometimes it goes from hours to days to weeks to months. I'm sitting there and I'm going through my mind. I'm just mulling over. What do I need to do? How do I get out of this? What do I need to do? How do I fix this? What can I? And I get headaches and I start stressing and I start worrying out and I start figuring out. And then after like 6.5 months, it's like, maybe I should pray about this. Maybe I should realize who's the God I serve in this. Maybe I should understand that God is all-powerful and all-knowing, so he all-knowingly knew before the foundation of the world that this event was going to happen. Already knew it. And he's had a plan all the way through. And this point crisis in the plan didn't at all mess up what's going to happen afterwards, because you already have the plan done. So whatever this is, it's just something that I have to depend on him, who is all powerful and knowing that he has a plan and absolutely free, that I'm going to get through this and he's going to work it out because I'm his child. That's like eight sometimes, eighth on my list. You get into that because I'm wondering, you know what, I'm going to fix this out, I'm going to work this out, I'm a man, I can fix this out, I don't need no help. And a lot of times I don't reach out for prayer. I say that in the past, a lot of times. You know, sometimes I even pray, okay, God, listen, I need your help and strength. Jesus, I pray, amen. Okay, I know you're going to take care of that. But that's not the pattern that Daniel did. When this stuff was happening to Daniel, he went, he understood who his God was. Then he went back to, the Bible says, his companions, his boys, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and he told them to seek mercy from God of heaven. We need to have a Mishael, an Azariah, and a Hananiah in your life. Who's your Mishael? Who's your Hananiah? Azariah. Who's your Hananiah? Who do you go to when disaster or crisis or hard times or little blips? Who do you go to? Who are your companions that you go to and say, hey, I need you, Steve, to fall on your knees with me on this one. Here's a scenario. I need you to pray with me on this. We need to join together and pray so that God will work in this. You got to have it. That's the example. We're looking at Daniel as an example. How do I live as a world machine? How do I live as a world engine in Babylon? How do I deal with that? Well, when disaster and crisis come, when situations come, you need to make sure you have a Hananiah, a Mishael, and an Azariah to go to and say, hey, I need you guys to pray. Here's a scenario. Here's what's going on. Let's seek mercy from the God of heaven on this issue. That's something I'm learning to do and doing more of. I was going through a little something last week, and I hit Ray up. I try not to do that a lot. I don't want to burden people with my issues or my problems. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to Ray on this one. You know, because I knew that if I could just say it or hear myself say it or type it or see myself type it, I knew what the answer was. I knew what my response should be. But to hear from somebody else who knew me, who had a relationship with me, I knew that could help me get it through, and it did. And it really did. But we need to do that. You need to have somebody you can go to and say, hey, I need you to seek the mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery. Then the next part to that is, are you someone else's Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah? See, in this Babylon, as world engines, we need to position ourselves as people and carry ourselves such a way so that somebody can come to you and say, hey, I need you to pray for me. I need you to fall on your knees right now and seek mercy from the God of heaven. Some people you don't want praying for you. Some people you don't even know if they pray or not. I mean, you know, you just, I don't even know if they really pray. You know, you, everybody knows like the prayer warriors, right? Like I know people who it's like they have a door. Their closet is really like a door to heaven. And it's like, we need just a second. Hey, Holy Spirit, listen. Olu asked me to pray for such and such and such. So I'm just going to let you know because he asked me to pray for him. We good? All right. Dap, dap, pound, pound. All right. We'll talk to you later. I'm telling you. But it's lady name is Josie at my church back at home, Virginia. Sister Josie, I mean, she looked like she was praying, no matter what she was doing. When she eating, you know, at a funeral or something at the church, she eating, like she prayer eating. You could just see it on her face, she was praying. Sister Josie, Sister Jones at my church, my mom's. I know my mom's because I seen it. I seen my mom's pray, like, I be waking up in the morning when I'm home, like, what is that noise? And I go in the room, mama on her knees, just praying. It seemed like all the time. You know, it was a lady named Miss White back when I was little. And I hope this isn't blasphemy. It probably is. But we used to say that Miss White was the was the fourth member of the Trinity. Oh, yeah, that's not good. That's a little too much. That's a little too much. But the point we were making was Sister White was so holy. It was her lifestyle, how she lived and how she talked. I mean, it could be like her good morning was like, good morning. Hallelujah. And you just pass out. I'm telling you. This lady, I saw glow around her when we were little. We used to see this. But when they prayed, and back in the day, and that's why when we talk about, when we go to the meeting, we're going to talk about prayer services. When we went to church and these people prayed, because we used to have prayer service where it wasn't a message, maybe it was a song and somebody broke out in the song. You know, right in the middle of it, somebody broke out into a song, we would sing it, and then whoever started the song would be the one to pray. Y'all, like, oh, that's a long time ago. I don't know if y'all ready for that. I don't know if y'all ready for that. But these people would pray, and I'm talking pray. I was little. I was like little to them. I mean, it seemed like they would pray for like 6 hours and 45 minutes each. And I would think, like, how do they have so much to say? You know? But they would pray. And when they would pray, I was little, but it would be like, and I'm not one of them to change in the atmosphere, but it would be a change in the atmosphere when they prayed. You see what I'm saying? Because of that connection they had. And so when I look at that, who are the people that I want to? When we have big things that happen to us in life, I call my mama. I call Miss Velez, Melissa's mom, because she's another one. I remember we used to call not recently, but 7, 10 years ago, we used to call Marty and Itzel's mom. You know, and I used to tell mama, tell Miss Josie to pray. Tell Miss Jones to pray. She had some men on that list. Like, really? They all dead. I know Brother Jones used to pray, boy. Brother Walter Jones used to pray. Brother House used to pray. And like the house would fall down when he would pray. But they gone. They gone now. Anyway, I'm sorry. I'm back. The point of the matter is, do you have someone that you go to that you know when they pray, God listens to them? Because you've seen it happen in the past. You've seen them pray for stuff and you've seen like the world change from their prayers. Do you have those persons in your life? You need to. And when those disasters come, when that catastrophe comes, when those hard times come, you have to go to those people. Yes, God hears us. Yes, God knows the situation. But the Bible tells us an example here and all the way through scriptures to go to others and ask for prayer and come on one accord and pray and ask for mercy from heaven. And then the second point to that is make sure you present yourself in a way such that you are someone else's Hananiah, Azariah, or Mishael. That means it has to change as you carry yourself, because you can't be acting like a fool And then somebody come to you to pray. Yeah, I don't want them to pray for me. I'll go over there and ask them. I mean, I love them, and I'm sure they pray for their food. But listen, I want to find somebody that I know that when they fall on their knees, the sound of their knees hitting the ground, the Holy Spirit be like, what was that? Oh, that's Sis White about to pray. Let me hold on 1 second, Gabriel. I gotta see what she's saying real quick. That's the kind of people we need to be. Bible says in Hebrews that because of what Christ did for us, that we can now come what? How? Boldly to the throne of grace with prayer. We can come boldly through the throne of grace. That word throne of grace, throne, think about a king, think about the throne, and it's a throne of grace. What is grace? Grace is that mercy, that power, that goodness that we need from God to help a situation. So there's a throne of grace where on the throne, it's nothing but power. It's nothing but goodness for us. The writer of Hebrews says that because of Christ's work on Calvary, we can now come boldly to that throne of grace. I need me some grace. Sister White knew how to come boldly to the throne of grace. Sister Josie knew how to come boldly to the throne of grace. You need to be in that position. So when you pray, don't just pray, God, thank you for the food, just pray, man. When you pray, don't just pray at night, oh, I'm about to go to sleep. Now I'm going to lay me down, me sleep. Pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, pray the Lord my soul to take. Pray that I won't have any bad dreams. Amen. Prayer. Daniel went to those guys and he said, seek mercy from the God of heaven. I like that. Seek mercy from the God of heaven. We don't deserve it, but seek it. And so we need to be in a position where we can do that. How's your prayer life? How do you talk to God? Does God listen when you pray?
Well, God listens to all his children.
Yeah, but I mean, does God listen? When you pray, do you see things happening? That's the test. When you pray, do you see the response? Sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no, sometimes it's wait. But do you see the response? Do you notice the difference when you pray and when you don't pray? I've learned in my life, and I got more and better with this, especially with my kids. When I used to get headaches, the first thing that comes to my mind is, I need to get an Advil. It's just natural. Oh, man, I got a headache. I need some Advil. It's very rarely, but it's getting better. Oh, I got a headache. Dear Jesus, I pray in your name of your son, by the blood of Jesus Christ, that you remove this headache from my head, God, so that I won't have this pain, so continue to do what I need to do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Because there's a throne of grace there that Hebrews said, come boldly. Are we bold to go to the medicine cabinet? Oh, I got a headache. Oh, get this Advil. Boldly get this Advil. I'll be ready in about an hour and a half. Boldly. That's how I take pills. It takes a lot of time to get down. I'm an 8-year-old child, I guess. You know? Or I'm going to go boldly to the complaining people. I can't believe. Let me just tell this guy what just happened. Can you believe what just went down? Boldly. I go boldly to my own self. Okay, I got to figure this thing out. Oh, whew. All right. Okay, what did we do last time the situation happened? Okay, so if I do this, if I take this and I move this way, if I do, I go boldly to those things. But how often do I go boldly to the throne of grace? I start doing my children. Daddy, my knee hurt. Let's pray right now. Don't wait. Take my hand, put it on the knee, and we pray right then and there for it. Because we have a throne of grace. And Hebrews told me to come boldly. So pray. Be that person. Be that Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah for someone else. Live a life in such a position. Because you know what I mean, man. Some people you don't want to ask to pray for. You know what I'm talking about. Some people you don't think, I'm sure they love Jesus and they will probably be in heaven. But it just don't seem like a person that I would. Plus, I might tell them my business. They might tell somebody else. You know what I'm saying? I really want to get into detail. Then they're going to start looking at me funny and start thinking that I'm a heathen. Then they're not going to come to church no more. They're going to look for another church. If the pastor's going through that, then why am I at this church? I need somewhere where the pastor is at least holy. You know, so I don't want to say anything. But live a life. Be receptive of people. And I got to work on that, too. That was for Olu. Be a little more receptive. Amen. Verse 18, and he told him to seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery so that Daniel and companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. I talked about it, and I'm past my notes now. Our natural tendency is, what can I do to get out of this? Our natural tendency should be respond with prudence and tact. Face that catastrophe. Don't run away, because you know the God that you serve. And then go to your companions and seek mercy from the God of heaven. What happens, the result of all that is shown in verse 18. Then, when you're reading your Bibles, by the way, side note, whenever you're reading your Bibles, always look for timestamps. Always look for timestamps. There's a couple things you look for. You look for the word but, B-U-T. When you see but, that means something's about to change. There was a scenario before, but then ah. And especially those but gods. When you see those but gods, whoo, you know what you're about to read right now is going to be off the chain. But look for the timestamps, because it shows you an example of how you live. All this was happening. Daniel made this response. And in verse 18, then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in the vision of the night. So what basically happened was, God then told Daniel what the dream was and then what the interpretation was. See, it was then, though. It was here. See, God knew what the dream was here, and he could have told Daniel. He could have told Daniel before Azarok came through there with his sword and knife and hatchet ready to kill him. Oh, Daniel, check this out. Azarok's about to burst the door open. He's going to come to kill you. But chill. I got you. Here's the interpretation of the dream. Could have done that, and it would still been just an amazing and incredible miracle God revealed to Daniel. But no, God let the disaster, the catastrophe, come in his front door first. After the disaster came, God could have been like, hey, I know what he just told you, but I got you. Here's what the dream is. No. God made him go confront the king. Now, he could have went back to the king and be like, why ain't you dead? Pew! And he's dead. That could have happened. But he confronted that. Even after that, he went to talk to Michelle. Now, after the king, God could have been like, you know what? You responded great. You used tact, and you were prudent, and you faced your fears, or you faced a catastrophe, so I'm going to tell you a dream. No. As an example to Daniel, an example to us, fall on your face, get with your friends, and seek mercy from God first. It wasn't until then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in the vision of the night. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and season. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what was asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter. He didn't just say, good looking out, God. Look at that. That's a response to acknowledge who God is and to give him thanks and praise for what he did. The then. I'm going to stop there, because I really wanted to look at what he was saying and those things he was pointing out, because it goes back to the God that he served before that door came open. See, because he's the same God he served before that door was open, the same God was there with him all the way until the then, when the mystery was revealed, such that he was able to praise that God right after the then was revealed. And you can see in his praise, that's why I want to spend some time in it, not today. You can see in his praise why he was able to do all that, because how he responded. Father, we love you. We thank you, God, for your goodness, God, your mercy, your grace, God. We thank you, first of all, that your word says that we can come boldly to your grace throne and receive that power, that goodness that we don't deserve, but we can come boldly and request it, God. I pray, God, that we will be prayer warriors, that each and every one under the sound of my voice will be those people that somebody will come to and say, you know what, I'm going through this, I need to ask Janiyah to pray for me. I'm going through this, I need to ask Tony to pray for me. I'm going through this, I need to ask Kales to pray for me. Because we are the type of people, the world engines, God, in this kingdom, in this Babylon, that represent you, such that others will see by our lifestyle, by our trust, how we carry ourselves, our response to catastrophe, that we are people who pray. I pray, God, that we will be that, and that we will not be prideful. So especially myself, not be prideful, but reach out to others, God, and ask for prayer as we go through different things in life. We thank you, God, for the example that you gave us with Daniel, how to live in this world. And we thank you for every instance that we see your sovereign power, your sovereign knowledge, and your absolute freedom in this passage of scripture. We love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Followers of the Way podcast. If you like more information about Followers of the Way Church, visit our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/FOTW Church. Again, that's www.facebook.com/FOTW Church. We trust and hope that you've enjoyed hearing God's word and how to apply it to our lives. Our podcast is updated weekly, so remember to follow us here at Followers of the Way.